Okay. Chodesh Tov. So first of all, I wanted to thank Leslie for arranging everything and Alana for hosting. So nice to come back to the Heights after so many years. I thought today we would talk a little bit about the time period that we're in. In fact, in Judaism, we have this concept called Koach HaZman, which means literally the power of the time. And we believe that every part of the year has this unique koach, this unique power, and that when we understand it, we have the ability to tap into it and to use it. In fact, the word mazal, the word for a zodiac sign, comes from the word nozel, which means to drip. Because we believe that each and every month is given a special power, a special mazal, and a God flows into that month unique kochos and unique powers that we have the ability to, once we understand them, to use them. And therefore, we look at the calendar. It's not that Pesach happens in Nisan, and therefore Nisan is a month of Geula, but rather because Nisan is embedded with this koach of redemption, it allowed for Pesach, for Yetzias Mitzrayim to happen, and therefore we say Asidin Lehigal, in the future, will also be able to be redeemed that time, because Nisan is that unique time of Geula. And we know the same thing for the month of Adar. You say you want to be successful, it's a month of fortune, you want to be successful in a court case, you should make your court dates in Adar. And on the flip side, we know that the month of Av is a month of misfortune, is a month of tragedy. It's constantly a time that we know that bad things have happened throughout the generations, and it's a time that we take extra precautions because we know that Av is that time. And so therefore, every month, Kabbalistically, is assigned, obviously, a name, it's assigned a letter, it's assigned a mazel, a zodiac sign, it's assigned some sort of, you know, power, walking, talking, etc. It's also assigned a shevet. It's assigned a lot of different things. And really, all of these different things allow us to better understand the month and what the unique koach of the month is. But it's one step further. We look at the year not as a circle, but rather as a spiral. And that when we go through each and every month, and we really can understand what the koach is of that month, and we are able to tap into it and to utilize it, it propels us forward. So therefore, we don't look at the calendar as a circle, Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, Tammuz, but rather a spiral. If I go through Nisan and I understand the kohos that are embedded in it, it propels me forward to Sivan, Tammuz, Av. So then, therefore, next year, when I come back to Nisan, to that power, I'm pushed forward and I'm in a new state. I look at it as a spiral and as not as a circle. So I think with this in mind, this background, I hope that we'll be able to better understand the time period that we're in. Specifically, now is Rosh Chodesh Iyar, but specifically Rosh Chodesh Iyar, but I hope, you know, in a larger sense, to see what's been going on and what we have yet to happen. The Gemara in Shabbos says that blessed are we, blessed is Hashem, who gave us a threefold Torah, namely Torah, Nevi'im, and Ksuvim, to a nation of three, where Kohanim, Levi'im, and Yisraelim, by the hands of the third child, we have Miriam, Aaron, and Moshe. And I think we can add to this, we know that the Torah was given after 3 days of preparation. It was given in the third month, Nisan, Iyar, and Sivan. But specifically, what I'd like to focus on in the Shir is it was given to us after a process of 3 months. The process of Nisan to Iyar to Sivan. According to the Ramban in Parshas Emor, the time period that we're in now, Iyar, which is the time period between Pesach and Shavuos of Sfiras HaOmer, he says that this time is really all one holiday. It's like one long yontif. We have Pesach as the first days, we have Shavuos as the second days, and really the whole period in between, the whole period of Sfiras HaOmer is the Chol HaMoed. So really, essentially, it's all one long yontif. And I think through understanding the process from Pesach through Shavuos, we can get a better understanding of our Kabbalah Satorah in general, and obviously on an individual and a personal level. The Sefer HaYetzirah, which is attributed to Avram Avinu, writes, "B'nisan himlech os hei b'ri'iya, b'i'ir himlech vav b'shmiya, u'b'sivan himlech os zayin b'halicha." In Nisan, Hashem, Nisan is crowned with the letter hey, and it's crowned with this power of sight. Iyar is crowned with the letter vav, and it is given the power of Shmiah, of hearing, and Sivan is given the letter Zion, and that is given the power of walking. So I think that throughout the Shir, we'll hopefully gain a deeper understanding of exactly what this statement really means, and what is the Savior of Tzior trying to come about, and hopefully through that we'll get a better understanding of the time period and the kohos, the unique powers that are embedded in this time period. So I think in order to really understand these 3 months, to understand the process, we have to first start with the middle. Because I think once we understand the transition between point A and point B, we'll understand what the process is. Once we understand the month of Iyar, we'll get a better understanding of what Nisan and what Sivan is. We'll be able to really connect the start of the Geula with Geulas Mitzrayim, with the finale, the grand finale of Matan Torah that we have by Shavuos. So first, just a few questions. So what's the connection? What is the connection between Nisan and Sivan? What is the connection? How does Sfira connect Yetzias Mitzrayim and Matan Torah? And also, when we look at this very interesting mitzvah of counting Sfira, these days between Pesach and Shavuos, and we compare it with other times that we're commanded to count, it begs a question. You know, when we think about a woman who's counting her Zayinikim, who's counting her 7 clean days before the mikvah, she doesn't make a bracha. There's no bracha involved. It's just day 1, day 2, day 3, etc. But all of a sudden now, when we're counting from point A, meaning from Pesach through Shavuos, all of a sudden now we have this concept of bracha, which we don't find in other mitzvot in which we count. But on the flip side, we do make a bracha, and yet we don't recite the bracha of Shehecheyanu, which we do all other times when we have a new mitzvah that we're starting. So on the one hand, we make a bracha, where in other cases we don't, and yet when we make a bracha, we don't make the Shehecheyanu, which we find so many times goes hand in hand. So why is this so? And also, it's interesting, when you look at the mitzvah of Siras HaOmer, so many people, you know, are actually mapped, or they actually say there's a little blur before that. You can say L'shem Yichud, for the sake of unification. Now, you might have it in your Haggadah by Matzah, by Mara, by all these other things, but for some reason, it's stuck more with this specific mitzvah. More people who are not necessarily Noheg or not necessarily Hasidic at all, they take the time to sing L'shem Yichud, specifically by Sfiras HaOmer, when not by other mitzvot. So that's another question. So I think that in all other circumstances when we're instructed to count, the counting is the means to an end, right? We have to know that 7 days transpired in order to be able to immerse in the mikvah. So therefore we count day 1, day 2, day 3, day 4, etc. However, it's just really a cheshbon. I need to keep track. I need to make sure that 7 days passed, and so therefore I know that I got to my end point. But when it comes to the mitzvah of Siras HaOmer, what's the difference? The Torah commanded us to count each and every day. So while, yes, Siras HaOmer gets us to the end point of Shavuos, of Matan Torah, there is some specific mitzvah in counting each and every day. So on the one hand, each day is a mitzvah, but on the other hand, it's a process which gets us to Shavuos, which gets us to Matan Torah. And so with Sfira comes this very unique concept that a preparation has its own unique essence, right? That it's its own mitzvah, that we have to sanctify and purify ourselves in order to go and accept the Torah. So if this is the case, like we said, then why don't we make a Shehecheyanu, right? We said Sfira is its own unique mitzvah, it's its own unique preparation. So why is there no Shehecheyanu? So according to the Ravaz, he writes, well, we don't make a Shehecheyanu because really, Sfira is not the Iker mitzvah. What's the Iker mitzvah? Kabbalas HaTorah. Siras HaOmer is kind of just dependent on the Kabbalas HaTorah, right? Like, we know there's a mitzvah to eat in the sukkah. Do we make a mitzvah on building the sukkah? No, because the real mitzvah is what? Getting to the point of eating the sukkah. Yes, obviously it's part of the mitzvah to build the sukkah, but because the whole building of the sukkah is really essentially dependent on eating in the sukkah, we say a bracha only at that point. And so therefore, we don't make a Shehecheyanu on Siras HaOmer, because while yes, it's a mitzvah to count each and every day, the real essence of the mitzvah is getting to that end point, is getting to the point of Shavuos, and therefore, says the Rabbat, we don't recite a Shehecheyanu. And I think this is on a basic level, but I hope by the end of this year, we'll get a much deeper understanding as why we really don't say a Shehecheyanu. So this is really a chiddush. On the one hand, we have Sira as a concept of, it's a preparation for Shavuos. But on the other hand, we don't say Shehecheyanu. But on the other hand, we do make a bracha because Sfiras HaOmer is its own unique mitzvah on its own. So therefore, we have this unique concept that the preparation has its own unique essence. That Sfira is unique in that, even though it's just a preparation, it's its own unique mitzvah. In fact, the Sfas Emes writes in Parshas Hazino that there's more koach and success in the preparation of a mitzvah than in the mitzvah of actually itself. Because he writes that the performance of the mitzvah is only the shah. But when you prepare for a mitzvah, that lasts forever. You know, we think about mitzvahs, right? How often do we go through a mitzvah and we don't know, do we really perform it exactly as we were supposed to? Did we follow all the details to a T? Did we have all the proper kavanos? Did we get everything ready as we were supposed to? So there's so many things that could potentially, you know, be a little off when we perform a mitzvah. But when it comes to a preparation, what does it mean? I'm getting myself ready. I want to do the mitzvah properly. And so therefore, I want to do it with simcha. I want to do it in the best way possible. And so therefore, right from Sfas Emes, we see the great importance and the great lasting effects of the hachana for a mitzvah. And it is based on this that the Chidushei HaRim brings down how we can understand the special Simcha Yisera by Simcha Space HaShoeva, right? So this time we say that Misha Olo Ra'a Simcha Space HaShoeva, Lo Ra'a Simcha Me'imav. If a person has never seen a Simcha Space HaShoeva, they've never seen true joy in their life. Now we think about it, what was the Simcha Space HaShoeva? They got the water ready. The water ready for what? For the Nisa Chamayim, to put it on the Mizbeach as the Korban, right? But the whole thing, so therefore, that's how we can understand this great joy, because what was the essence of the Simcha Space HaShoeva? It was the hachana for the mitzvah. It was the preparation. And therefore, we see the great importance and the great simcha and the great level in a hachana for a mitzvah. And therefore, there's this added joy, there's this special level of excitement and simcha when it comes to a preparation of the mitzvahs. Specifically in this case, the Simcha Space HaShoeva, which we said is also Sfira. Sfira HaOmer, yet on the one hand, is a mitzvah on its own. But on the other hand, it's really Taloi, it's really connected to Shavuos, and therefore we don't make a Shehecheyanu. And therefore, there's an added level, an added something special in Sfira HaOmer that you don't find in other cases. So it's based on this that we can really understand the essence of Sfira and of Ir. What is the essence of Sfira, the essence of Ir? It's the connecting ability. It's this ability to, on the one hand, it's on its own, but on the other hand, we bring it back to Shavuos. We connect it, we go from the point of Nisan to the point of Ir. And just back one point, therefore, when we come to other mitzvot, people are not necessarily so mocked to say L'Shem Yichud, for the sake of unification. But when it comes to Sfiras HaOmer, people make sure, I'm going to say L'Shem Yichud. Why? Because what better place to put a preparation for the mitzvot, which is, again, L'Shem Yichud, I'm getting in the zone, I'm thinking about it, I'm psyching myself up, I'm going to perform this mitzvah, then by a mitzvah whose whole essence is this preparation for the mitzvah. What better place to have this hizur, to have this enhancement of a mitzvah that's whole essence is hachana, is preparation, than by the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer? And so we see, again, that really though Sfiras HaOmer is, on the one hand, its own mitzvah, really the unique nature of Sfira and of Chodesh Iyar is the ability to connect two things. It's to connect Nisan and Sivan, it's to connect Yetzias Mitzrayim and Sfiras HaOmer. And I think with this in mind, we can try to go back to the statement that we started off with, at least the first part of the statement from the Sefer Yetzirah. B'nisan himlich oshei b'ri'iyah, u'b'iyar himlich vav b'shmiyah. And the Pre-Tzaddik explains that what? Nisan was this power of ri'iyah. It was this ultimate revelation, right? It was mechaseh Hashem. It was a complete chesed from Hashem that what? We were on the Memtes level of Shaar HaTumah. We had nothing, and yet we were able to get this revelation. We were able to get this connection. It was wow, oh my goodness. But then it disappeared. It was only the Shah. It was a chesed. And then comes Chodesh Sivan, Bnei Yisrael merit to actually be kona it, to acquire it, to make it their own. And that's what Chodesh Iyar is. Chodesh Iyar is created with the letter Vav. Now, the letter Vav is what we know as the Vav HaChibor. If I want to connect two things, me and you, right? You know, Rivka v'Sarah. The Vav is what connects two people. In fact, that's what the Pasuk tells us in Shmos when describing the Mishkan. It writes that the Vav is the Vavei HaAmudim. It's those little hooks that connect the pillars. Vav is a hook, is a connection. And that's really what Chodesh Iyar is. That is really what the Vav is. That's what Iyar does. It takes us from the point of Nisan to the point of Sivan. It allows Bnei Yisrael to acquire that which they saw in Nisan. And it's this process that ultimately culminates with the acceptance of the Torah, with Kabbalah Satorah. At Yetzias Mitzrayim, Bnei Yisrael are on this high, lofty level. The Mechilta tells us this, that Ra'ash Shifchaliyam Mashalora Yacheskel Babuzi B'Nevuasav, that a simple maidservant was able to attain a high level of Nevuah, a higher level than Yacheskel Babuzi was able to attain in his whole life of being a prophet. Because Nisan was this time of revelation. It was this time of Re'iyah. Did we deserve it? Not necessarily. But that's what it was. Hashem said, wow, Bnei Yisrael, this is a flash. This is how high you can come. This is what you could potentially achieve. But it didn't last. And so therefore, we have Nisan, which is this Re'iyah. But in order to be, to see something, do you have to be active? I can be walking on the street and I can witness whatever is occurring on the street, but I don't necessarily have to have a part in it. But when it comes to hearing, there's a level of acceptance. There's a certain level of being active. Like the Gemara in Erevin says, lo shmieli kolomar lo sfirle, which means I didn't hear it, which means I don't hold by it, or I don't agree by it. There's a certain level in hearing of accepting, of Kabbalah belief. There's a certain level of being more active, whereas when you just see something, it can be completely passive. I open my eyes, and I don't really have to do anything other than just witness a grand event. And so sfira is this chibor, it's this connection, it's this pathway to get us from this point of Yetzias Mitzrayim to this point of Matan Torah. Like we said, according to the Rabban, that the sphere is really the Chol HaMoed between Pesach and Shavuos. It's really all one yontif. It's really one long process. It's one event, starting with Nisan and ending with Sivan. When speaking about sphere, the pasuk tells us, Usfartam Lachami Macharas HaShabbos. When do we start to count sphere? From the second night of Pesach. But what does the pasuk say? Does it say start counting from the second night of Pesach? No, the pasuk tells us Usfartam Lachami Macharas HaShabbos, which we explain as the second night of Pesach. So why does the pasuk tell us that this refer to Pesach as Shabbos? So Shabbos is this concept of it's Arusa Dilatata, which means an awakening. It's Arusa Dilaela, an awakening from above. Meaning what? It's an outpouring. Do we have to do anything to bring Shabbos? No. We have the phrase, Shabbos waits for no one. Every 7 days, Shabbos occurs. It doesn't matter when, it doesn't matter where, it doesn't matter how. Shabbos comes no matter what. We do not have to do anything or invest anything in order to bring about Shabbos, right? We don't have to be Mekadesh the Chodesh. It has no effect on Shabbos. Every 7 days, no matter where you are, Shabbos comes. And therefore, Shabbos is this concept of Itarusa de la'ela, awakening and outpouring from above. Similarly, Pesach is also an Itarusa de la'ela. Pesach, we have the same concept. Were Bnei Yisrael worthy of Yetzias Mitzrayim? No. We were on the Memtes level of Shari Tuma. We were on the 49th level. There was no lower that we could sink. And yet, God lifted us up. He gave us this divine revelation. It was pure chesed from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It was this Itarusa de la'ela. It was this awakening. It was this outpouring from above. Wow! Look, Bnei Yisrael, what you can be. Look what you can achieve. And so therefore, we refer to Pesach as Shabbos, because they both share the same concept of Itarusa de la'ela, of this awakening, of this outpouring from above. But obviously such a thing can't last. You can't just have this outpouring from above. In order to make something last, in order to make something concrete, you need an Itarusa Dilatata. You need an awakening from below. You need to go and to work on something to make it last. And so therefore, the Pasuk tells us, Usfartam Lachem. What's Lachem? Litovaschem. For your own good. Because why? If you want to make this Itarusa Dilatata stick, if you want to make it work, if you want to make it a reality and not something temporary, not just a spark, you need to work on it. And so therefore, Usfartam Lachem, you have to take Sefirah Omer and count for yourself. L'tovaschem, for your own good, because once you do that, when you go through this process of Sfira, you can take this Itzarusa de la'ela, this outpouring from above, and you can concretize it. You can make it real, and you can make it your own. We take this inspiration, and we put it into action. This is the mashal of the father who's trying to teach his child how to walk, or trying to teach a child how to ride a bike. So what do? You hold the child by their hand, and then they take a few steps, right? But it's very nice, and they're getting the hang of it, and they see, wow, I can do it, or this is the motion, and they're getting used to the motion, but that's not really walking on their own. And then what does the father do? He has to remove his hands, and the child has to get the balance on his own and figure out his own rhythm in order to be able to walk or to be able to ride the bicycle. And it's the same thing. On Pesach, Hashem took us by the hands, and he said, Bnei Yisrael, this is what you can be. This is what you can achieve. But then he had to remove his hands, because that's not really walking. It's somebody's helping us. Maybe we're being puppeted. But it's not something real and something concrete. And so therefore we have this time period that we go and we try to walk on our own. And we try to achieve that which we saw. And it's based on this that the B'nai Sasra writes, we have a deeper understanding of why we don't say Shechianu. We originally said, why don't we say Shechianu when it comes to Sfiras HaOmer? Because we said, oh, the Radboz writes, because it's not its own mitzvah, it's really Torah, it's really connected to Shavuos. And just like we don't make a bracha on sitting in a sukkah, so therefore what? We're not going to make a bracha on Sfiras HaOmer, because it's really, though it's, yes, it's its own unique entity, it's really Torah, it's really connected and dependent on Shavuos. Says the B'nai Sasra something different, and I think it's based on what we were just saying. The B'nai Sasra says, why would you say a Shechianu? You say a Shechianu on something new, right? But is this new? No, because what is Sfiras HaOmer? We're going back to working on to what we had already gotten to. We got there. We were there in Yitzias Mitzrayim. Remember B'nai Yisrael? Wow, look at this revelation. Look at this Re'il. Look at this unbelievable Nevuah that even the Shif Aliyah was able to connect to God, right? So therefore, there's no need to say a Shechianu. There's no place for a Shechianu here because it's not something new. We're going back to something that we had already had. And that's what Sfiras HaOmer is. Going back to that point and trying to concretize, trying to make something real and make it our own. And that's really what ER is. It's this month of transformation, of transforming ourselves, of working on ourselves. The mazel, the zodiac sign of Iyar is a shore, is an ox. Because the ox represents our nefesh habahamis, our animalistic self, our animalistic soul, which we try to work on, which we try to sanctify, which we try to purify at this time. And then what happens after we get to this point, after Iyar? What's the next mazel, the mazel of Sivan? It's the ta'omen, it's the twins. Where we come to that point that we are now the level of human beings. Because we've transformed ourselves. We've gone from that level of the ox to the level of being a human being. And it's not just in the zodiac sign. We see this very clearly in the karbanos. Right? What's the karbana, Omer? It's barley. It's animal food. But what's the karban that we bring on in Sivan? The shtei halechem. What's it made out of? It's made out of chita, of wheat, of human food. Because that is the transition that we're going through. That is the process. We go from this point of being the level of the ox to being on the level of the ta'omen. We go from being from taking our animalistic side and our animalistic self and transforming ourselves to being the people of a korban of the shtei halechem, of the chita, of the human food. The Mishnah, it's very interesting, the Mishnah Berurah and the Magen Avraham bring down that from the Rishonim that when it comes to the concept of Sfiras HaOmer, there's no concept of Shomea Ka'ona. What does it mean, Shomea Ka'ona? We know a lot of times when we have a mitzvah, right? We have Kiddush Friday night, right? Someone says the bracha, someone recites the Kiddush. We listen, we have Kavana, we pay attention, and then therefore it's Ka'ona. It says if we ourselves said it, we ourselves said Kiddush. Not every single person at the table says Kiddush. It could be that one person says it, and as long as everyone else is concentrating and thinking, it says if each and every person at the table was Yotze, and this is the concept of Shomea Ka'ona. But when it comes to the mitzvah Sfiras HaOmer, there's no concept of Shomea Ka'ona that we find by so many other mitzvahs in the Torah. And the question is why? So the Avnei Nezer brings down that Sfiras HaOmer is a hachana, it's a, what we said, it's a preparation for Kabbalah HaTorah, for the accepting of the Torah and the mitzvos. And the work that a person has to do in order to accept upon themselves the Torah and the mitzvos is very unique. Every person has their own derech in Avodas Hashem. Every person has their own way in which they connect to God, in which they connect to mitzvot, in which they approach mitzvot. And so therefore, because every person's avoda and kabbalah and Torah and mitzvot is unique, it cannot be that one person is yotzei a second person. Because each and every person has to find and develop and to work on their own way in Avodas Hashem. Their own way of connecting. Their own way of approaching Torah mitzvot. And so therefore, whereby other mitzvot, the Kiddush is the same. You say the same words, I say the same words. It's essentially the same thing. So therefore, you can be motzi me. We all have the same obligation. But when it comes to Kabbalah, Torah, and mitzvot, we're all unique. We all have our own paths. And therefore, there can't be a concept of Shomea Ka'ona. It can't exist. I think we see this very clearly. The Pasuk in Shir Shirim writes, Mashcheni acharecha narutza. The Bnei Yisrael say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mashcheni, draw me close, acharecha narutza, and we will run. So what is the obvious problem in the question? Obvious problem in the Pasuk? Mashcheni is Lashon Yachad, it's singular. Acharecha, narutza is plural. So we go from draw me close, and then we will run after you. Which seems, it doesn't make sense. There's no agreement in this pasuk. But I think it's based on what we're saying that we can really understand the pasuk better. Because why? We all want to go after Hashem. But there's no such thing as mashcheinu, draw us. Because each and every person has their own derech to connect to God. Every person has their own thing that turns them on. For one person, it's sitting and learning. For one person, it's a chesed. For another person, maybe they're inspired by a sunset or a beautiful niggun. But every person has their own thing that sparks their interest, that turns them on, that draws them close to God. And therefore, it has to be singular. It has to be unique. And only then, when each and every person find their own unique way, then it's narutza. Then we can all run together. And so therefore, there can be a concept of Shomea Ka'ona when it comes to Sfiras HaOmer. When it comes to Kabbalah, Satorah, and Mitzvot, every person's path, every person's way is unique. And so therefore, one person cannot be motzi another person. The Gra writes that in the Chumash, it writes 50 times it says Yitzias Mitzrayim. And he says that that is really connected the 50 days of Sfiras HaOmer. Because he writes that with each day of Sfira, we leave a part of ourselves, of our personal Mitzrayim behind. What does Mitzrayim mean? It means a place of narrowness. Mitzar is a boundary. Within ourselves, within each and every person, there's a spiritual Mitzrayim. Our own narrowness, our own boundaries, which restrict and inhibit the godliness within ourselves. And that is what we do when we go through Sfiras HaOmer. Every day we try to leave behind a little bit of those boundaries, a little bit of those restrictions upon ourselves. Remember, we go from the point of being the mazel of the shore to the mazel of the ta'omim, from the carbon of the animal to the carbon of the human. We leave behind our boundaries, our restrictions, and we enable ourselves to unleash the godliness and the spirituality within ourselves. And we really know this to be true, that man is called Adam. He has this dual aspect. Man can be Adam from Adama. He can be just like the ground. Or man can be Adame le Elokim. He can make himself like God. But that all depends on man and what he chooses to do with himself and in which way he chooses to direct his life. And this is really the process that we start in this period. We go from Nisan with Pesach with this ultimate revelation. We have this gift. We have this spark from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But it fades. It's not real. There's nothing substantial behind it. And so therefore, we come to Iyar. We come to this time period of Sfiras HaOmer when we have to work on it, when we have to make it real, when we have to make it concrete. And so we can climb back to that level that we achieved on Pesach. And we can ultimately come to Sivan. We can come to accepting the Torah. But it's not just about accepting the Torah. It doesn't end there. The process doesn't end with Vav Sivan Kabbalah Satorah. We need to take it one step further. And I think with this, we'll try to understand the end of the statement from Sefer Yetzirah. The end of the statement from Sefer Yetzirah is the following. B'Sivan Himlech Hashem Os Zayin B'Halicha. Sivan was anointed with the letter Zayin, with the power of walking. Additionally, it's very interesting. The Shevet, every month is assigned a Shevet, and the Shevet that is assigned to Sivan is Zevulun. Now, if I would ask you, we're in the month of Kabbalah Satorah, we're in Sivan, what Shevet do you think we should assign to this month? My first reaction would be Yisachar, right? Yisachar Chamor Gorim. Yisachar was the one who held the old Torah. Yisachar was the one who sat and learned Torah all day. Yisachar was the Yodea Yitim. This was Yisachar, right? It would make the most sense that the Shevet that should be connected to the month of Kabbalah Satorah would be Yisachar. And yet, we find that the Shevet that's connected to this month is Zebulun. So the question is why? The Gemara in the Dharim tells us that why were B'nai Israel exiled from Eretz Yisrael? The Pasuk in Yirmiyahu writes, Shelo Halchuba, right? The Gemara, and what does the Gemara explain this to me? The Gemara writes, Shelo Barchuba Torah Tzchila, that they didn't make Birkas HaTorah. Now I ask you, the people are sitting and they're learning and they're involved in Limud HaTorah. They couldn't take the 10 seconds, maybe they had a lot of kavana, the minute and a half it takes to say Birkas HaTorah, it almost makes no sense. What, did they just say, oh, I'm going to say Birkas HaShachar, but I'm not going to say Birkas HaTorah? So what is the Gemara telling us, Shelo Barchu BaTorah Tzchila, that they didn't make the brachos on Torah learning? And the Saba Mikelm explains, based on the Tosfos in Brachos in the Rush there, that when a man goes and he does business, and he says, when he goes and he says Birkas HaTorah, and then he goes to do business, and he learns again at night, he doesn't have to make a new bracha, right? Which we would think would make sense, right? When I go into a sukkah, and I eat, and I say Leishei Basukkah, and then I go on a teal with my family, and I come back to the sukkah, I need to make a new bracha. Why? Because there's a break. There's a hesach hadas. There's a break in concentration. But the Gemara is telling, but we're saying here that when it comes to Birkas HaTorah, I can say Birkas HaTorah in the morning. Maybe I learn a little bit before I go to work. I go to work the whole day, and then I come back at night, I want to learn again. Do I need to make a new bracha? No. Because the Saba Mikelm explains that it's not considered hesach hadas. Maybe the person wasn't sitting and learning Gemara or listening to a shiur or whatever venue that they're learning in. They're not doing that the whole day. However, when a person goes and they deal with their business honestly, right? And they, whatever they're doing, they're following the Torah and the mitzvot and the halacha, it's not considered a hesach hadas. There's no distraction from Torah. Learning Torah is not, what he's explaining is learning Torah is not necessarily just about sitting and reading the words of the Chumash or reading the words of the Gemara, but when your life is based on Torah, when even though you're in the business world, you're following the laws of Choshen Mishpat and you're dealing with your business honestly and you don't speak Lashon Hara and you're on a bus and you get up and you're interacting with your children and you're being machanech them properly, even though that's not actually sitting and learning a blot of Gemara or Chumash and Rashi, whatever you're learning, it's not considered hesach hadas. It's not considered a break in thought process. And this is really the kavana in the statement, lo halchuba, right? Because what happens, we're understanding that even though these people were sitting and learning Torah, or whatever they were doing, when they went in to do other things, all of a sudden there was a hesach hadas. They didn't bring the Torah into their life, and so therefore, when they came back to learn again, they required a new bracha because there was a hesach hadas. And that's how we understand shelo halchuba. At the time when they walked in the world, the halicha. What is halicha? The halichos ba'olam ha'maiseh. What they did, their physical actions, they stopped from the darchei Torah. And so therefore what? They were required to make a new bracha, which they didn't say. It wasn't that they just didn't want to spend the 2 minutes in the morning to say Birkas HaTorah, but rather the Torah didn't translate into their daily activities. And so therefore, The real problem was not the lack of the bracha, but the hesach hadas, the fact that the Torah learning didn't carry through to their everyday lives. And it's based on this that Rav Tzaduk explains the concept of the arba amos shel halacha. We have this concept of the four amos, this measurement of halacha. The four amos halacha doesn't refer to the place that I'm actually sitting and learning Torah, but rather any place that a man acts in according to the halachos of Torah, that place is sanctified with the Kedusha of Arba Amos Shel Halacha. That place becomes a holy place because his life and whatever he's doing is being sanctified and being guided by the Torah and the mitzvot. So, If a man is out and doing business and he remembers the dinim of choshen mishpat and he remembers not to lie, or a person is involved in something and they remember to stop and not to speak lashon hara, etc., etc., or whatever examples you can come up with, then all of those things are sanctified with, as if the person's in the base medrash, because they're in those arba amos of halacha. And this is how we can see and better understand how Birkas HaTorah can really apply the whole day. How when I get up in the morning and I say my Birkas HaTorah and I learn, and then I go and do my daily activities, but then I come back at the end of the day to learn again. As long as there's no Hesach Hadas, as long as the Torah is carrying with, I'm carrying the Torah with me throughout the day, so then I don't need a new bracha, because everything I did that day is all based on the Torah. So that's really what the concept of halicha is. We said, b'sivan himlich os zayin b'halicha. The concept of halicha is what? My everyday life. Not what I'm doing when I'm in the base medrash. Not what I'm doing when I'm in a shir. But what am I doing in my physical life? When I'm eating, when I'm sleeping, when I'm in school, when I'm interacting with other people, when I'm at work, etc. That is the concept of hilach. And I think it's with this we can better understand the pasuk in Vayikra, where we say "Im bechukosai teilechu." And Rashi explains there "Shetihiu amelim b'Torah," that all of the toil of a man should be in Torah, b'darchei haTorah. And this—that is the kavana of "Im bechukosai teilechu." That what all of our toil in this world should be b'darchei haTorah. We're not just, when we think of Amelus Batorah, we think of people sitting and delving into a sugya and trying to learn it to better understand the halacha. But what are we saying here? No, your amel, your toil, the things that you do in the world, that has to be in b'chukosai teilechu. And in that way, there's no hesach hadas. It's also based on this that we can understand what we say, Tana Devei Eliyahu, Kol Hashona Halachos B'chol Yom, Muftach Lo Shehu Ben Olam Haba. A person who studies halacha every day, he is guaranteed a spot in Olam Haba. And then it quotes a pasuk, Shenamar Halichos Olam Lo, Al Tikri Halichos, Ella Halachos. Right? We learn it from the concept, don't read it Halichos, but rather Halachos. Because what's the Kavana? That the Halichos Olam, That all the things that a man does, that a person does, b'darchei ha'olam, in the way of the world, should be according to halacha, and that is considered as if he's learning halacha, and he's considered a ben olam haba. Now it's interesting to note that we're not told that person is zocha to a chelik in olam haba; they merit a chelik in olam haba, but rather, what are we told? That he's a ben olam haba. Because why? He's a person who's shayach, his life is olam haba. Because why? Even his physical life that he's living in this world is on a totally different realm. It's on the realm of olam haba. He's a ben olam haba. He's not waiting for the reward, but rather he transforms the world that he's living in. He transforms his dalet amos into the dalet amos of halacha. He becomes this ben olam haba. And that's what Shavuos is about. Shavuos is when we accept upon ourselves the Torah, to be Ovdei Hashem, right? 24/7. We don't just believe that we're Yom Kippur Jews, or we're Shabbos Jews, or Jews when we eat kosher, or when we're involved in a mitzvah. But rather, it's our hiluch. Torah is in our walk. It accompanies us to every aspect of our life, even the most mundane and the most physical. And it's really based on this that I think we can understand why Zevulun is attributed to the month of Sivan and not Yisachar. The pasuk in Devarim writes, "Sameach Zevulun b'tzeisecha," right? That Zevulun is happy when he leaves. And the Preet Tzedek asks, he says, it's so strange. Why is Simcha, why is joy attached to this concept of Zevulun leaving? Where is Zevulun leaving? He's leaving the base medrash and he's going out on his ships to be a merchant, to be involved in the world, to take the business, right? We know that Zvulun took on the all of the responsibility of the working. He's leaving the base medrash and he's going to support Yisachar. So what do we have this concept of simcha, of joy? It would make sense. I would think maybe he would be sad. I have to leave the base medrash. I have to go and be involved in who knows what. But it's exactly the opposite. Because Zevulun is this person that makes sure that all of his actions are in the gezer of Torah, that even when he's involved in business, there's no hesach hadas, there's no break in quote-unquote concentration, because everything he does is about Torah and mitzvot. His life is permeated with Torah. I remember, just on a side note, Rav Kupperman always says, what's the difference between a person who's a Ben Torah and not a Ben Torah? A person who's a Ben Torah, his life is permeated with Torah and mitzvot. A person who's not a Ben Torah, his life is punctuated. It doesn't matter which one's in the base medrash and which one's in the doctor or the lawyer. But a person who's a Ben Torah means that his whole life is about Torah. Not just Torah in the base medrash. Not just Torah when I'm davening. Not just Torah when it's Yom Kippur. Not just Judaism when it's Yom Kippur, etc. And so therefore, Zevulon merits this extra level of joy because he is able to accomplish this, that Torah is in his hiluch. When he leaves the base medrash, he's able to sanctify his life, and he's not leaving the Torah behind. The Torah is coming with him. And that's why the pasuk says, like we said, in b'chukosai teilechu, this lashon of halicha, because that's what Torah is about. Torah is about the hiluch, about making it, and about bringing it into every step we take and everything that we do. And I think it's with this in mind that we can better understand why the letter Zion is attributed to the month of Sivan. According to the Zohar, the Zion refers to the clay Zion, which means weapons that we use at a time of war, at a time that we battle. And I think that this is really the everyday battle that man engages in, right? We have these natural tendencies to get involved with the gashmias, the materialism, and to forget about spirituality. That's the way of the world. Life gets crazy. There's so many things to take care of. There's a whole checklist. So much, you know, we have to eat, we have to sleep, we have to shop. There's so many things to do. And so therefore, we're constantly struggling in remembering that there's more to life than just the physicality. We have to remember that there's spirituality and that there's Kedusha even in the physical things. But the Zion not only refers to the clay Zion, this weapon, this battle that we're involved in, but it also refers to the O's, the strength of Torah. Because Zion is in Gematria is O's. They're both 77. Zion, when you write it Malay, Zion, Yud, Yud, Nun. And the Gemara in Zvachim tells us that Hashem O's Liamo Yitain. The pasuk refers to what's the O's? What's this strength? What's this Zion that Hashem is giving us? It's the Torah. Because it's precisely the Torah that's going to help us, that's our strength, that helps us battle with these clay Zion, with these weapons that we're dealing with in our struggle. And that's really what our job is specifically during Sivan, and actually during the rest of the year. We have to try to synthesize the two. We have to take the Torah and take it out of the base medrash. We have to bring it into our lives, our everyday lives. Every step we take, every action that we do, doesn't matter how physical or how mundane it may seem, it has to be rooted in Torah. And this really is our weapon and our strength. This is how we can battle the kochos hateva, the natural tendencies to get involved in the physicality and the mundane. And I think we see this very clearly in Rus. Right? Rus, as a person, everything she did was based on and rooted in Torah. Whether it was her tznias, whether it was the way she gathered in the field, she didn't forget about lekach shechach and peah. Every single thing she did was based on Torah. Torah was her hiluch. In fact, this is exactly what Ruth says to Naomi. She says to Naomi, Asher telchi eilech. Wherever you go, I will go. Because she understood that what? Torah is not something that applies to shul. Yiddishkeit is not something that applies to Shabbos or to Yontif or to specific times or events or actions. But rather, Torah is about your hiluch. It's about the action. It's about taking it into our everyday lives. It's about taking it into every step. It's in fact from this pasuk that the Gemara in Yevamos learns out the halachos of being Megayer, of Geirus. Because it's this message that we're sending to the ger, it's the person who wants to convert. Know that Torah is not just about a list of do's and don'ts. It's not just, this time I do that and another time I do this, but rather, Torah is something that permeates my life. It's in my hiluch. It's in every step I take and that every action that I do. On the 29th of Sivan, it's also, just on a side note, you know, when talking about months, you also can understand very much about months. We said we look at the month of Nisan, and we know that Pesach occurred in Nisan because there are certain kochos embedded in that month of Geula, right? So often when we look at months, we look at events that transpired in the month, we can also gain a better understanding of the power of the month, either actualizing it and utilizing it properly, or maybe being misguided and losing sight of what we're supposed to do. It's very interesting that one of the events that happened in Sivan, on Chaf Tes Sivan, was the Chet HaMeraglim. Not the actual Chet, but the Meraglim were sent out to Eretz Yisrael. And I think that it's really this Yisod that we find in the Chet HaMeraglim. The Meraglim were tzaddikim. They were a list of very chashuv people, but they didn't understand. They wanted to spend their life in the Midbar. They thought that Torah is ideally practiced in a vacuum. You need a Midbar. You need nothing around you. You need to have, you know, your oasis, your island, your four walls of the Beis Medrash, and that's the only place that Torah can exist. They didn't realize that what was the purpose? The purpose is no. You have to go into Eretz Yisrael. You have to cultivate the land. You have to be able to find spirituality and bring the Torah into the farming, into the working of the land, into the conquering of the land, into the building of the houses. Torah is not just in the Ananei HaKavod. It's not just in the Midbar where you have the Be'er and the Mud and all these other things. But the purpose of Torah is to take it into our Hilach, to take it into our everyday lives. And that's where the Meraglim made their mistake, because they didn't really understand the message of the month of Sivan. They didn't understand that the Sivan is given the power of Hilach, of taking the acceptance of the Torah and accompanying it into our everyday life. And that's really the completion of this transition process. We start off with this spark. We start off with Pesach. We start off with Nisan. B'nai Yisrael, this is what you can be. This is what you can achieve. This is how high you can come. But it's not real. It's just a spark. And we need to go through ER and to make it real. And to conceptualize and to concretize those things in order to get back to that level that we saw at Yetzias Mitzrayim. And then we come to this point that we can finally accept upon ourselves the Torah. But it doesn't end there. It's not just about accepting the Torah, and I learn the Torah and I follow the mitzvot, but it's about taking it one step further. It's about taking the Torah and bringing it into our hiluch, bringing it into our everyday lives, like it was epitomized by the Shevet of Zevulun. They were able to leave the Beis Medrash and take the lessons of the Beis Medrash and bring it out into the world of business, where they were merchants. And that's really the completion of this concept of our Kabbalah Satorah. But it's not just, this just doesn't apply to the time period that we're in, to the time of Sfira, to the time of Nisan, Iyar, Sivan. But I think as we go through life, and every rung on the ladder, every step that we take, and every time we get inspired, and every time there's something good in our lives, we look at things around ourselves, and we have to remember this process. We get inspired, we have a spark. But it's not going to last unless we concretize it, unless we make it into something real and make it into an action. But it can't just end there. We have to make sure that accompanies us into our everyday lives, into our hilach. And I think that this is really the secret to the Kabbalah Satorah that we have on Shavuos, and to our each and to our own personal Kabbalah Satorah that we have on a daily basis. Chodesh Tov.